Welcome to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. Here at Mosaic, we strive to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. To learn more about Mosaic, check out the website at mosaicportland.org.
So good to be here in this place with the Holy Spirit, who's right here in this room, and with all of you. Excited to be here to share with you this morning. My name is Anya.
Good morning. Let's try that again. Are we good? All right. Good morning. My name is Ryan Hernandez. I've been gathering leader for the evening service for guest care for the last year and a half.
And I'm Justin. I'm on staff with Mosaic helping to start a new gathering of our church in North Portland. So.
Awesome. Great to be up here with these guys. I've realized I'm the only one of the three of us whose feet cannot touch the floor on this stool. So... So that's kind of fun. It's really a privilege for the three of us to be able to share with you some things that God has done in our lives over this past year. And we know that each and every one of you could be sitting up here telling a similar story of what God has done in your life. And I wish we had time to hear all those stories because it would be so fun to see how God is working throughout our whole community. But we're privileged that we get to share. And I hope as we do that, as you listen, that maybe something that one of us says will resonate with you, or it will cause you to reflect yourself on, oh, here's something that God did in my life, this past year. So to start off, I want to give you a little bit of backstory for the lesson that God taught me this year. And that is to let you know that I have a very driven personality. Those of you who know me well or work with me on the staff team could attest that this is true. I like to make plans. I like to get things done. I like to be in control. When I decide that I need to do something, it's like, okay, I'm going to plan this and this and this, and this is how I'm going to tackle it. It's kind of the way that I'm wired. And I also have a very deep desire to become more like Jesus and to see his kingdom being made known in the world. I deeply, deeply desire that. And so if you combine those two things, my driven personality and my desire for those two things I mentioned are kind of what the Bible calls fruit. So, you know, my life to be transformed, to be like Jesus and to see himself made known in the world. So my desire for fruit and my driven personality, the combination of that means that I'm constantly striving and driving to try to produce fruit. This comes out in different ways. You know, so if I decide that there's something in my character that I want to change, like I realize, oh, I need to worry less and I need to trust Jesus, well, I'll make a plan. Okay, how am I going to do that? And I'll journal about it and I'll maybe write out a prayer that I'm going to pray every morning when I wake up addressing that issue. And I'll make a plan for, well, here's what I'm going to do every time I start worrying. And these are the steps that I'm going to take. Or, you know, I really want to see my neighbors come to know Jesus. So I'll make a plan. You know, I'm going to plan events and parties so that I can get to know my neighbors and build relationships with them. I'm going to start a small group that meets in our neighborhood. I'm going to organize service projects. So all these things, which are not bad things at all. I mean, these things are good things. But what I've realized is that I depend on these things and therefore depend on myself to produce the fruit that I want to see. And I've realized that this can become pretty stressful and pretty exhausting. So I'm part of a discipleship group that I meet with every week, and we have talked a lot about this whole idea of fruit this past year. And there was a book that we were reading, and as I was reading it one day, there was a line from the book that just jumped off the page to me. I don't know if you've ever had that happen before. You're reading something and it's like, whoa, it just really hits you. And here's what this sentence says. It says, bearing fruit is the most natural thing in the world for a branch. Bearing fruit is the most natural thing in the world for a branch. Now, I love fruit, like actual, you know, fruit, like apples and oranges and peaches and berries and all. I love it. So this visual picture really resonated with me. And I started thinking about our blueberry bushes that we have in our backyard. we had a great blueberry year this summer, and I thought about those branches that were just covered with big clumps of blueberries. And I thought, you know, that's true. It's not like each of those branches was like sweating and pushing and striving to try to get those berries to come out. All that those branches did was just stay connected to the vine, and then the berries just came. So that picture really aligns with something that Jesus said in the book of John. It's in John chapter 15, and here's what he said. He said, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So I think I used to think of this passage kind of in the sense that connecting with Jesus was the thing that prepared me to produce fruit, kind of like a battery that needs to be recharged. So you take the battery, you put it in the charger. When it's all charged up, you take it out, and then it goes and does its thing. So I kind of thought, you know, I go connect with Jesus, and he fills me up and gets me ready, and then I go out, and then it's my job to figure out how to make the fruit happen. But what God has been teaching me is that connecting with Jesus isn't just the thing that prepares me to produce fruit. Remaining in him, like John 15 says, is the thing that actually produces the fruit in and of itself. And I know that might sound like a subtle difference, but it's been a really big deal for me to realize this, that the remaining is actually the thing that produces the fruit. Now, I looked up this word remain, with weeks and weeks of biblical study. Actually, it was just on Google, where you can look up original Greek words for things in the Bible. And I found that the Greek origin of the word remain is a word called abide. And the way that abide is defined is as remain, which is the word they chose to use in this translation, reside, stay, and then my favorite definition, a continuous condition of being present. So if I am a branch that is continuously present in the vine, fruit isn't something that I have to force and sweat and push out of me. It's just something that will innately flow out of me because I'm a branch that is connected with him. And this is something that's completely natural, and it's completely God's work. It's completely God's energy, completely God's work. And my job is to remain a branch that is connected to the vine. So what does it mean to remain in the vine? This is something that I've been thinking a lot about as God's been teaching me this lesson. And here are some of the ways that it's looked for me this last year. One is just learning to listen and depend on the Holy Spirit, just in day-to-day life, in day-to-day, everyday, ordinary moments, listening to the Holy Spirit, asking him, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And depending on him for each day. Another thing is simply enjoying his presence and noticing him, being attentive to the fact that he's with me, really random moments, just saying, Jesus, thank you that you're here, and just knowing that he's walking through every moment. Another thing has been establishing daily and weekly and yearly rhythms of getting away with him in quietness and in prayer, like the way that Jesus modeled for us when he lived here on earth. And this is something that's hard for me. I don't really like being alone or being quiet. But I found what an incredible joy that it's been to have that time with him. So daily having times where I'm just setting that aside, being with him, just sometimes just being quiet, being in prayer, having a Sabbath day every week that can be really hard to guard sometimes. But I found I absolutely need it. One day that's set apart to rest, to be with family, to be with Jesus. And then even larger chunks throughout the year, I went on my first retreat where really getting away for a couple days and spending time alone with Jesus. And I was kind of nervous about it, of how that would go. And I absolutely loved it. And it was so refreshing for my soul. So those are some of the things I'm learning about what it means to remain in the vine. And then overall, a really fun thing has been reflecting on the fruit that has been produced in my life this past year, because it's kind of been this concrete example that God's given me of illustrating this whole principle of a branch being connected to the vine. Because the most significant fruit that's been produced through my life are honestly things that have had nothing to do with me. It's only been because I'm a branch and he has allowed me to be part of work that he's doing. I'll just tell you a couple of the significant things that he's done in terms of fruit he's produced in my life. One is that I went through a really overwhelming situation this year that caused a lot of anxiety. I was feeling a lot of anxiety. And God gave me a deep peace that could never have come from myself. It was something that only came from him. And I know that was the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in my life to produce that. Another thing was that I had the incredible privilege of getting to pray with two women who decided to follow Jesus for the first time. So I got to be there with them as they prayed and asked him to become a part of their lives, and then got to baptize both of them. And again, it had nothing to do with me. God had already been working in their lives through other circumstances and other people. And I just got to be there at a certain moment that God allowed our lives to intersect with each other. So these things, I feel like God was just saying, hey, here's proof of what I'm teaching you. That if you want to bear fruit, the very most important thing you can do is not strive and try and drive, but the most important thing you can do is to remain in me.
Yeah, it's cool to see what God does through you when you put your faith in him and you stay in him and you align your will and your desires with his. I know for me, for this last year, that's going beyond this last year, I've just been really seeking out God's plan in my life and trying to align my life with him. And this last year has just kind of seen God link those two up and change the trajectory of my life because of it. In about 3 weeks, month, right around there, I'll be taking off down to move to Mexico. Central Mexico, a city called Morelia, where I'll be serving him and as a director of a community center that offers after school, before and after school educational and athletic programs. I'll be overseeing their basketball and recreational activities for the next few years. It's through an organization that's based here in Portland. It's called Noe International, it's been a challenge. Just realizing what it means to give up everything that I've held so close, so tightly for myself for so long. Like Anya said, I too am a person that I like to be in control of what I'm doing, what's going on around me, my life. I'd like to have a tight, firm grasp on things. And this decision that to follow God, to go into ministry, to move to another country and serve him, has meant that I just have to give up all of those things. Leaving a place that I've called home for just about 30 years, leaving my family, leaving my friends, leaving the security of a stable job, and putting complete trust in him, and realizing that I'm releasing those things to him, and instead of grabbing onto controlling those things, I'm grabbing onto God and trusting him. And it's just been incredible just to see God working, changing not only me, but just working the whole situation, bringing in people, to support me, you know, through prayer, through finances, to encourage me, to reaffirm that I'm on the right path. One verse that's been kind of around me for the last few years that I've been involved in this organization that I've just kind of recently just really connected with and grabbed a hold of, it's in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And the part that's really just grabbed a hold of is the fact that He's got a plan, and it's not to harm me. As hard as it has been to mentally change and emotionally change the idea of, you know, I'm not going to be around my family, people I've called friends for so long, my home. It's not a negative. It's not a taking away. It's actually for my good. I have built a new family and new friends where I'm headed. And it's really become a new home. In my heart, it's now, you know, God has opened my heart to Moralia being my home. And that's where I long to be. I'm excited that that's where God is leading me now, and that's where I get to go here in a short time. And I get to share the second part of that verse, being a future and a hope with the kids that I'll be working with, getting to introduce them to Christ and the future and the hope that He provides. And it's not easy. It's a daily grind, but it's been incredible just to see how God also on a daily basis is just kind of little notes, little bits of encouragement from those around me that just say, "Hey, I'm here. You got a hold of the right guy." It's pretty kind of hard to express just the amount of joy that just comes from that, those little notes that God reaffirms that, "Hey, you're following my plan." And I'm excited for this next year. It's been kind of a little bit of a process to get here, but excited to see what this next year holds and the story that I'll get to share, next year at this time with everybody and what God has done. So,
thanks, Ryan. I know I'm really excited for you as I've gotten to hear your story of how God's led you here. It's just such a privilege to see you stepping out in faith and following God, even when it means leaving what's comfortable and familiar and going to an unknown. I'm also excited because we at Mosaic get to be a part of sending you. So this is going to be fun. Next month, all of us are going to get to commission and send out Ryan as he goes on his journey to Mexico. So we're so grateful to have you as part of our community. Even though you'll be living far away, we'll get to keep up on all your adventures and how God's using you.
Well, it's been a pleasure being part of this community for the last 5 years or so. It's exciting to be able to take the step of faith, like you say, an adventure, and it's been an encouragement to have Mosaic come along beside me, and I'm excited to take you guys with me and have you guys a part of that. So, thank you.
Yeah, I know for me, Ryan, is we've gotten a chance to work together quite a bit with evening guest care here at Mosaic, and just had an opportunity to see you and how you lead, and I've just been really blessed to see you as you've moved toward this decision, really just kind of stepping out in faith and saying, you know, God, you're going to lead me through this. And it's been cool to watch you kind of make that decision over the last several months. So thanks. So the last year for me, as I think about 2013, this has probably been the year with the biggest changes in my life that I, of any year, since I've been here. If you would have told me a year ago all the things that would have happened in 2013, I probably would have not believed you. There's been quite a bit, and I'm excited to share about all of that with you. So, but before I get into it, just a bit of backstory on my journey over the last year. About a year ago, right during this time, my wife and I, Julia, had made the decision that I would resign from my position at Portland Rescue Mission, where I'd been working for 3 years as their volunteer coordinator, and move toward joining the Mosaic staff team to help start a new gathering of Mosaic in North Portland. And that was a huge decision for a number of reasons. PRM's a great organization, and I love my job there, but just had a really strong sense that God was calling me to join the team here at Mosaic. The other piece that was a big part of that was that I was leaving behind a lot of stability in the sense, at least perceived stability, in the sense that I had a consistent paycheck at PRM, and the position here with Mosaic required me to raise full-time support. I think as I go through what I'm going to share with you today, we have a lot in common in the sense that the three of us, we're each people, and probably a lot of you too, like to have control over life and feel like you're kind of able to make things happen and all of that. And this year's been a lot of letting go of that for me. So as my wife and I thought about this year and kind of a passage in Scripture to tie it to, came up with a passage in John 6, and it starts in verse 60. And just to kind of intro this verse a little bit before I get into it, this immediately follows Jesus giving a really hard teaching to his disciples about what ultimately will be the Last Supper and communion. And they obviously don't understand it yet, but the imagery he uses is that for someone to follow him, they need to eat his flesh and drink his blood, which I think if any of us heard that from Jesus, we would, and not knowing what we know about communion and what it means and the symbolism there of him dying on the cross for us, we would be a little bit concerned as well. You know, cannibalism and all of that seems very strange coming from Jesus. So this is immediately following that. So that'll give you a little bit of context as I read it. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who it was who would betray him." He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And as I look at the disciples, as they encounter this really hard teaching, they've been following Jesus for a while, and he says this tough thing to them, and suddenly, you know, their future is thrown into confusion, their present is really difficult, and they decide, a lot of them decide, you know, this is too much. It's I'm out. I'm not going to follow you anymore. And I love when he looks at Peter and the 12, and Peter responds, you know, where else would we go? There's nobody else that we can go to. You have the words of life, and you're the Messiah. And even though this is really hard right now, we're going to stay and continue following you. And as I think back over 2013 in my life, there's kind of just three areas, three situations that have come up that have really tested my faith in Jesus and whether I'm going to continue to believe and follow him in North Portland and with my life. And so those three things, one is our financial situation and a big job transition. One is we had a son, which is changing everything that we know about life. And then the third thing is a housing situation. So I'll just walk through each of those real quick. Obviously the financial situation, you know, a big transition from having a steady paycheck each month to having to rely on God to provide for us through individuals that we know. And there's many of you probably in this room who are supporting us here at Mosaic and a lot of our family and friends. And we've seen God work in some amazing ways through that. But it's also been a challenge because, like I said, I like to be in control. And not knowing where money is going to come from necessarily, not having a paycheck that we can always count on from an organization, that really has shifted our views on, you know, God providing for us. So there have been many moments where, you know, we've looked at Jesus and been like, you know, we don't know where this is going to come from. We're not sure what's going to happen. But, you know, continuing to make that decision that he's the one who's leading us toward this and that he's the one who's going to provide for us. With our son, Forrest, he was born on November 1st this year. And like I said, that's been changing pretty much everything that we know about life. We've been sleeping some. He actually slept for 8 hours straight last night. So maybe a round of applause for Forrest. So yeah, we've been sleeping some, and he's a really happy baby, but during the pregnancy, there were some moments when we got some results back from an ultrasound that it looked like everything may not be okay, that there might be something wrong with him, and I remember that's probably the most out of control I felt this whole year, and just not knowing what to do, and feeling lots of anxiety and stress about that, and thankfully, he's fine, and everything's okay. But in that moment, just having to trust that God was going to take care of us and our family, and that was a challenge for us in that moment. But we had to look at Jesus and say, you are the one who you say you are, and you're the one who's leading us here, and you're going to take care of us. And the third piece is one that's actually kind of ongoing, our housing situation. We found a great house. We really, when we decided to help start Mosaic North Portland, we really wanted to live in North Portland, to kind of be missionaries there and to get to know the community and get involved and get to know our neighbors. And we found a great house to live in there. And we've really kind of invested in our community there. We've gotten to know our next door neighbors and the neighbors two up from us. Went on a lot of walks with them and had them over for barbecues and everything. Had a housemate move in. Her name's Melanie, and she's been a really great fit, and we're enjoying that. It's been kind of on our hearts to live in community with somebody else for quite a while. But about 2 weeks after Melanie moved in, we came home to a note on our door saying that our house was in foreclosure, and that the person who owns the house that we're renting from hasn't made any payments on it for 2 years. So that was just really confusing because we felt like, you know, God, you led us to this place and to this house and to this neighborhood, and we've seen you working, and we don't know where we're going to go next. You know, we've been looking, and it's been a challenge to find anything, and haven't been able to find anything yet. So the last day that we can be in the house is February 28th. Coming up here, and we're not sure where we're going to live after that. So that's a situation right now where we are having to trust Jesus with our lives. And so with all those three things, I don't know, you know, finances, family, home, there's probably some of you sitting in this room who can relate to one or maybe more of those. I think they're pretty common things that stress us out in our lives and that we feel like we don't know what's going to happen next with those. But I just wanted to encourage you that we can trust Jesus in the midst of those things when the present is hard and when the future is uncertain, and that he is the Messiah and he is the Holy One, and we can follow him. And we've had to make that, Julia and I have had to make that decision multiple times this year to really believe and trust him. And I just want to encourage you in the situations that you're in to do the same. To be like Peter and look at him and say, where else would we go? You're the only one. So I think Phil's going to lead us in a time of communion, and I'd like to just pray for us as we move toward that. So would you pray with me? Jesus, we're grateful this morning for all the ways that you've worked in all of our lives throughout 2013. And as we move into a new year, I just pray that we would continue to see you leading us forward as a church, as individuals, and that we would continue to see your gospel moving forward in our lives and in our communities, at our city and in our world. And Jesus, as we reflect on the body and the blood that's here, the bread broken and the juice, we're grateful that you gave yourself for us sacrificially, and we just want to say today as we come forward that we want to believe you and follow you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
And 11 a.m., as well as 6:15 p.m., with children's classes available at all three gatherings. To find out more about Mosaic, visit mosaicportland.org. Thank you and have a great day.